his name. Indeed, he is worthy of all our praise and our adoration. This evening, we want to share with you on the subject, the churches of Christ salute you. The churches of Christ salute you. And this phrase is found in Romans chapter 16 and verse 16, where the Christians are encouraged to greet one another with a holy kiss. The churches of Christ salute you. And if we should backtrack in the chapter, then we would have seen that over and over again, the writer Paul keeps sending greeting to various members of his audience, as he wrote. So he was sending greetings and salutation to different members and groups and families in the church. And so here we see that it is good for us to greet one another. It is good for us to have concern one for another. But it's almost as if Paul, as he wrote and continued to give all this greeting, he then encourages the members of the local congregation to salute one another. And then he says, the churches of Christ salutes you. Now, the purpose of this lesson is to help us to understand the singularity and oneness of the church, as well as its plurality, without confusing it with denominationalism and denominations. So let me say that again, so that we understand the context of which we will be spending the next few minutes. We will, as we unfold the lesson, look at the fact that there is one true church. We will explore the truth that Christ built but one church. But how is this so when we see passages like that which we just referenced in Romans chapter 16 that then speaks to the churches of Christ? Did Christ build one church and then others build others? We want to understand the singularity and oneness of the church as well as its plurality without confusing it with denominationalism, with denominations. And so before we even go further, it is important that we understand that when we talk about the church, we are talking about a group of persons. So the church is not the structure that we are in. And so it is that if the church, for whatever purpose, decides that it wants to go on an outreach, and so today's the 13th. So if on the 20th of January, the church says, the leadership says, this Sunday, we are going to be meeting at the football field in Duaney Park near Baldwin Crescent. Then when we all meet there, then the church is in that location. And so the church then is not the structure nor the building. In fact, the word church comes from the Greek word ekklesia, where ek means out of, and kleos, ekklesias, kleosias. All right, you are speaking in tongues. A calling. So when we put those together, then we would recognize that the church is a called out group of people. And in our case, we are called out to be servants of God, of Jesus Christ. And so, we want to put that in its frame. Now, coming back to the concept that we are seeing in Romans chapter 16 and verse 16, where it says, the churches of Christ salutes you, or salute you. We may become confused, because when we explore Scripture, it becomes very clear to us that Christ built but one church. In Ephesians chapter 4, it goes through and it talks about one body. Well, Brother Webb, one body, or you get one body to be the church. Well, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 22, if we read that, helps us to understand that the church is the body, and the body is the church. Can we read that quickly? Ephesians chapter 1, verses 22 and 23.
And has put all things under...
And has put all things under his feet... And gave him to be the head over all things. The church, which is his body. So what we are seeing is that then is that the church is the body of Christ, or the body of Christ is the church. So when we see then in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 4 that there is one body, then it becomes clear to us that there is one church. So help us again, Brother Webb. How is it that there is one church but yet the churches of Christ is saluting, is greeting? Not only that, in Matthew chapter 16 and verse 18 following, we are told that Christ built his church. In fact, read verse 18 of Matthew chapter 16 for me.
And I say also unto thee.
I say also unto thee.
That thou art Peter.
That thou art Peter.
And upon this rock.
And upon this rock.
I will build my church.
I will build my church.
And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it.
And the church of hell. Gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I want us to pay close attention to the fact that when Christ spoke and he talks about my church, he's showing ownership. And then he goes on to say that the gates of hell shall not prevail against it, as opposed to them. So there we are seeing that the church is one. Amen. Christ did not build multiple churches. We recognize that there is clarity of thought in respect to singular and plural in this passage. Note, read verse 18 again.
And I say also unto thee.
I say, so Christ is here speaking and he says, I say. He did not confuse the pronouns. He was not saying we. He's saying I. So he understands singular versus plural. Read again.
And I say also unto thee.
Unto thee.
That thou art Peter.
That thou art Peter.
And upon this rock.
And upon this rock.
I will build my church.
Okay, notice upon this rock, not upon these rocks. There is no confusion in Christ's grammar. And so when he says my and I and it, there is clarity of thought and clarity of understanding as to singular and plural.
Right.
Read again.
And I say also unto thee.
I say also unto thee
that thou art Peter.
That thou art Peter.
And upon this rock.
And upon this rock.
I will build my church.
I will build my church. So here again, we are seeing the singular. He did not say, I will build my churches. Read.
And the gates of hell shall not prevail.
And the church of, and the gates. The gates. Are you with me? So, Christ was not just mixing things up. He recognized when he wanted to use plural. Right. Because he said the gates of hell. Now we won't get into what the gates of hell is or are. Alright? Like I said, no, I'm getting mixed, alright? The grammar, I'm the one falling in the grammar, alright? They don't say gates is. Alright? But what we are seeing is that Christ was very clear. There was clarity of understanding between singular and plural. The passage finished. The gates of hell
shall not prevail against it.
Read.
And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven.
The keys. I will give to you the keys. So when Christ wants to say plural, he understands quite well how to say it. So when he says that he has built one church, he has built one church.
Amen.
Which verse are you?
At 19.
Read.
And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven.
Yes.
And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven.
So, you know, Christ is not confused. He does, well, you know, whatever you shall bind on earth. We don't have that type of confusion happening. And heaven, you know, because we know that we have multiple heavens. Oh, do we know that we have multiple heavens? I'm going to digress my lesson if I have to go and tell you about different heavens. No. But we have the heavens where the birds fly. We have the heavens where we have the terrestrial bodies, you know, the moon and the planets. All right, and we have heaven. We know that Christ ascended into heaven and he's gone to be with God. All right, and we hope to get to heaven one day. So there are different heavens. But Christ was not saying that whatever you bound on earth shall be bound in the heavens. So that would not be correct. But it would be bound in heaven, where God resides. All right, and you know, and we hope to get to heaven. I can't be show off and boasty and say where I want to go when I die, because I'm a sinful man. And what I'm deserving is to go to hell. So I can't be too pumptious now and say, well, when I die, I don't want to end up in the heavens where the birds are. I don't even know how I'd get to stay there, but or that when I die, I want to, you know, my heaven is somewhere like on the moon and in the planets. I can't be so sure and pumptious to be dictating that. But what would be lovely is to be able to rely on the words of Christ that says that he's gone to prepare a place for us.
that where He is, there we will be also. And so, that is what we yearn for, and that's what we aim for. But coming back to the point, Christ had clarity of understanding of singular and plural. So when He says one, He means one.
Right.
You know, we are sure that there is but one church built by Christ. As sure as Christ went to Jerusalem. As sure as Christ suffered at the hands of the scribes and all of those religious leaders and the chief priests. As sure as He was crucified, He built one church. As sure as He on the third day was resurrected from the dead, He built one church. How sure? Which verse you stop, brother?
You're at verse 19.
19? All right, read on. Well, I think I read the one, verse 21. But read 20 and 21.
Then charged He His disciples that they should tell no man that He was Jesus the Christ.
Yes, read.
From that time forth began Jesus to shew unto His disciples how that He must go unto Jerusalem.
So, in the same context, in the same breath that He was saying that He will build one church, in the same conversation, He says what? Verse 21 again.
From that time forth, began Jesus to shew unto His disciples.
How
that He must go unto Jerusalem.
So remember, He just said, I am going to build My church. Alright, and He says some things, and then He comes on and says, well, I am also going to do some other things. I am going to go to Jerusalem
and suffer many things of the elders.
Not only am I going to go to Jerusalem, but I'm going to suffer many things. I want us to get the context here. You know. These things has not happened as yet.
Right.
Up to this point, Christ did not yet build the church.
Amen.
But at the same time, He's saying that He's going to build His church and He's going to build one.
Right.
He's also telling some things that is going to happen. And He says, I'm going to... I know something is wrong with that Jerusalem. I'm not sure what it is, so let me stop at J-E-R. Alright? I'm going to go to Jerusalem
and
I'm going to suffer
many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes.
Alright? And many persons. But not only am I telling you that I'm going to go to Jerusalem, not only am I telling you that I'm going to suffer at the hands of different persons
and be killed.
But I am telling you that I am going to be killed. Christ was speaking of His crucifixion.
And be raised again the third day.
And I'm going to be raised on the third day. Do we recognize what happened here? Christ went to Jerusalem. Christ suffered. Christ was crucified. And Christ rose victorious on the third day. As sure as all of these things happened, Christ built one church. He did not fail in any. So when He says He's going to do all of these things, and we see that He and we can read and see that He did all of this, How dare us to say that he did not build his church? That singular church.
But Brother Webb, you have spent about 15 minutes of your sermon establishing something that your premise of your whole lesson runs counter. Because you started off the lesson saying, the churches of Christ salute you. And you have now spent so much time saying there is one church. Why are you confusing us? Why are you confusing us? You know, because we could then ask, how then do we have the churches of Christ saluting and greeting when there is but one church of Christ? If Christ built one church, are we saying that there are other churches of Christ that others built? Is that the point? The quick answer, no. Christ built one church, there is but one church. But how does churches of Christ come in the picture? As we see in Romans 16 and verse 16. Let me hasten to say that there are multiple classifications of churches. There are multiple classification of churches. We see in places like 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 2, Acts chapter 20 and verse 28, Galatians 1 and verse 13, we read of the church of God. Which one do you have, brother?
1 Corinthians.
1 Corinthians chapter 1.
Yes.
Verse 2.
Unto the church of God.
Unto the church of God.
Which is at Corinth.
Which is at Corinth.
To them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus.
Alright, so we see church of God. So when we read through the New Testament, we see church of God. Multiple places. In Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 23, we have another classification. The church of the firstborn. The church of the firstborn. So we see that as we, you know, if you Google church of. Yeah, it was interesting. I wanted to make sure that I covered that. So actually Google church of. Alright, it's a church of, it's a whole heap of things. Alright, but it's a church of, and then it's something like King James Version and narrowed down. You don't see many things. Alright, many variants. But you see, church of the firstborn is another classification that we see. And we have been referring to Romans chapter 16 and verse 16, where we know that we see the church of Christ. All right. Now, for time's sake, I won't get into this whole thing about the off. All right. Speaking of the off showing possession. So it tells it's a church that belongs to God. It's a church that belongs to Christ. All right. And even firstborn, you know, we can stretch it and say it's a church that belongs to the firstborn, referring to Christ. But probably a more proper rendition of that would be that it is the church that consists of the firstborn, alright, which represents the Christians. Alright, but let me not say that. Let me just leave with you the fact that when we read Scripture, we do see classifications of the church referred in different ways. But can I tell you that it's still referring to the one church that Christ built? Because while it speaks about the church of God, we have to be conscious that we have God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And so there is no confusion here
that when it speaks in the New Testament, or when it speaks in the Bible about the church of God, that is referring to the church of God, referring to the Son, Jesus Christ. And clearly, the church of Christ is referring to the church that belongs to Christ, made up of the believers and the followers of Jesus Christ, who will be the firstborn. Follow me. In the midst of these various classifications, there might be added confusion if we are ignorant, because if we continue to scan through, then we will see things, the churches of Galatia. So if we can have a church of Galatia, so is it such a bad thing when we hear about the Church of England? Well, let's look at that. Galatians, 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse 1.
Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia,
as I have given order to the churches of Galatia,
even so do ye.
So we are seeing this classification. Alright? And if we read through scripture, we'll see many other references to church in different locations. And so this brings to focus the fact that the church is viewed from a geographic perspective. The church is viewed geographically. It is viewed geospatially. When we look at the church, yes, one church, but the church exists in various places, but it's still the one church. And so we will see, just a scan of Revelation and the seven churches in Asia. You know, so we will see the church in Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamum, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, Laodicea. These, you know, if just for time's sake, I haven't had them read, but it talks about the church in all of these locations. Are these different churches? Are these different bodies? Are these different persons called out for other purposes other than which Christ would have established his church? No. There are local congregations, but there are one church. There's one church of Christ, but it exists in different locations. We need not be confused. Now, Christians, they say, Father Webb, why are you going through all of this? You see, sometimes we don't really understand. And so, if we don't understand, how can we help others? Because these are some of the arguments when you're discussing with persons, they throw at you, what do you mean by one church? And we see all kind of church in the Bible. So, the question is, if we have all of these churches, it talks about, as I've given order to the churches in Galatia, even so do ye. Ye who? Churches in Corinth, or the church in Corinth. So, do they look the same? If this was a Bible study, then this is not where I would solicit feedback. Do these churches look the same? Does the church in Corinth look like the church in Galatia? Yes. They will look the same in their teaching,
their practice, and, you know, if I can separate practice from worship, in their worship. So, do they look the same? Yes. Okay, so let me dramatize this. Do they look the same? Yes. Do they look the same? No. Brother, well, you're really confusing every Sunday night here, you know. There are multiple churches in different locations. Do they look the same? No. Because they are really different. The church in Galatia have certain characteristics about it. Because it's a different environment. They have different challenges, different issues. The church in Gaul, in Galatia, have different issues too. And so they are the church of Christ, practicing the teachings of Christ. But if it is that they were all exactly the same, then Paul, in writing all of these epistles, wouldn't need to really be addressing it to the Corinthians church and the Galatian church and so forth, even though they shared it afterwards. But it's because of specific issues that different congregation or the church of Christ in a particular location may be having that he would have written to them specifically. And so when we look at the church in Corinth, the church was full of false concepts about the ministry and social events and all kind of disorders. So it is the church, in fact, the church in Corinth is referred to as the problem church. It's like any problem you could think about is almost like they had it. And so they had issues from, you know, how to deal with the communion, they even had problems in terms of how they relate to family members, the head covering, the Lord's Supper, all kind of varying issues they had in terms of how they should interact. Did Galatia, the church in Galatia, have these issues? Maybe it had some. There's some overlap, maybe. But from all indication, the church in Corinth had these issues. You know, the church in Galatia, they struggled with the false concept of Judaism. That was their issue. That was their big issue. And so Paul, in writing to them, was showing just how superior and how better this system of Christianity was over the Judaism. And so, yes, it's the same church of Christ, but in their own space, in their own location, they had different issues. Time will not allow me to go through even the churches in Asia and the summary of them. You know, where we are told, for example, that the church in Laodicea was lukewarm. You know, we are told that the church in Smyrna, they were poor. A poor church. But they were really rich spiritually. You know, which one is it? Is it Philadelphia? Or is it the same Laodicea? That they I think they were rich, but really poor spiritually, because they were dying. And so the commentary about each local congregation or each church of Christ in a particular vicinity was different. But guess what? They were the same church of Christ. Alright, I want to leave this concept with you because time is going much faster than I thought it would have gone. We have to be careful I'm going to skip this, but let me make a statement on it. The same way we can look at a church in a location, we could also look at persons.
Think about it. Think of two Christians. Even though they are Christians, they are not the same. We have our own personality and characteristics. If I'm to take two persons that I think are truly Christians, all right, and be safe, and so I stick to the Bible, okay. And let's say I pick Paul and Peter. I don't know if any of us would argue that we think any of these would make it successfully. I think we would pretty much be comfortable. So they were both Christians. But if we should study their lives, as much as they are Christians, faithful Christians and disciples, apostles of Christ, they were two separate and distinct persons, coming from two different backgrounds. And so, we recognize that even though they are Christians alike, their practice would be different. But guess what? In respect to their teaching, in respect to Christian living, in respect to worship, they would be in perfect unison because they are followers of Jesus Christ. And so, members of the Church of Christ, or Church of Christ, wherever they are located, will be a part of the church so long as they practice the teachings of Christ, live it, and worship the way Christ would have them to. Right. I feel I'm really out of time, and I'm just here thinking how I can just wrap all of this. But I'm just going to just highlight that we can, it's testable. The Church of Christ is testable. And among the things we can do in this test is to ask questions like, when was the church started? You see, we want to make the distinction between a Church of Christ in a particular location as opposed to denominations. Because you see, that's where it gets all muddy for some persons. Because persons would want to think that, yes, man, if that's what, you know, preacher, Church of Christ preacher, you know, it's a long time I want to hear a person preach like this from the Church of Christ, you know, because Christ built one church, but then different ones make up the one. That's not what I'm saying. We are the Church of Christ so long as we keep the teachings and the practice of Christianity. And so, you know, I think I'll just have to make a sub-lesson of this portion. And so, whenever we find a church, quote-unquote, that is not adhering to the practice of Christ, the teachings of Christ, then they are really not the Church of Christ. Even if it wears the right name, even if it wears the right name, if the practice is off, then it is not the Church of Christ. It is not the My Church that Jesus spoke about that he was building. But time. But as I close, one of the teachings that any Church of Christ that is in fact the Church of Christ must teach is how you make entrance into it. And so, one of the ways to test, is this the Church of Christ? Is how is it that you get entrance or become a member, a part of that church? You must hear about Jesus Christ. You know that if you were listening to the lesson, you heard. Because from the very mouth of Christ, he said that he was going to suffer. He was going to be crucified. You know why he did that? Is it because he wanted praise and whatever to say, oh, I am a martyr? No. He did that to save us. Because our sin could not be paid by any action that we could do. It took the blood of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And he didn't just die. Having died and was buried, he was resurrected. That's the gospel. And we can obey that today if we are not a part of the body of Christ. If we, having heard that, believe that, and we are willing now to change, because now we recognize that there's something that we can do to change our sin-sick state to a healthy state with Christ. Then if we make that change, we call that repentance, then we but need to express publicly, confessing not our sins, but our belief in Christ. And having done that, we can be immersed in water so that we can join in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And when we go under that water and come back, then like how he was raised from the dead, so we were raised from the water and into a new life with Jesus Christ. So, the churches of Christ salute you, bring you greetings. Those who are not members of the church of Christ invites you to come into the fold. The church of Christ in Patrick Gardens tonight invite you. The Church of Christ in the corporate area of Kingston, Jamaica says to you, answer the call of Christ. The Church of Christ in Jamaica wants to welcome you to the family of God. The Churches of Christ worldwide wants to bring you greetings. Greetings that Jesus Christ loves you. That Jesus Christ came and he died for you. The churches of Christ invite you to come to Christ even tonight. Will you come? We will invite the song leader to come with a song of invitation. And this is an opportunity for you to answer that call. The churches of Christ salute you.
We will turn to song 390. 390. Let us stand as we sing this song. 390.